We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Talk a little bit more about baseball, the National League Central, and what's going on down in the Queen City. Our good friend Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 now joining us. You can find him on Twitter at MoEgger1530. Mo, how you been, buddy?
Bill, I'm good, man. How are you?
We're doing well. Baseball's back, and I think for some fans, they could care less. Other fans are excited to see it. So you're a team, the Cincinnati Reds, that really made some moves in the offseason to try to bolster that roster and make a run at it. So now that everybody's ready to come back, give me your thoughts.
You know, from a Cincinnati Reds competitiveness standpoint, I guess my thoughts really haven't changed from what they were, I think, the last time you and I talked before spring training began, which is this team's got a shot. In fact, I think if you kind of make an adjustment for the rule change where everybody's going to have a DH, the Reds have a bunch of DHs. So their issue wasn't number of bats. They could slide somebody who wasn't going to get as much playing time into the DH spot. And, you know, that's going to be somebody that ordinarily would be used as a pinch hitter, and they could hide a glove, which is, you know, if this team has a profound weakness, I think it might be defensively. So you can kind of take your pick and pick the bad glove and let him just hit. I think this season, and you kind of have to suspend disbelief here for a second and assume that we're going to get through it without any sort of interruption. I think this season has immense entertainment potential. And from a Red standpoint, we went into the season thinking they had a chance. And, you know, here we are a month before the season's actually going to begin in this mad dash to the postseason. I think with what they did this offseason, in spending $160 million in free agency, they've bolstered the offense. They have a bunch of former All-Stars in their starting rotation. They've got some really good arms in the bullpen. Again, defense is a little bit of a concern. And, you know, slow starts have torpedoed this team each of the seasons. They started 1-8 last year. That ruins your chances when you're playing in a 162-game season. It totally makes the rest of the schedule irrelevant when you get off to a 1-8 start or something similar in a 60-game season. So that's obviously something they've got to avoid. But yeah, there's a lot of excitement here. There's a lot of excitement for the Reds' chances. And after months of wondering if we are going to have baseball, it's been fun to at least talk about what may or may not happen on the field a little bit.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Is obviously a city that's been rich with baseball heritage. So is there an excitement, or has the disdain and the vitriol been as vivid there as almost anywhere?
I think there was such a thirst to watch the Reds be in a situation where they can be competitive that the exasperation with the way that we got here, the collision of ownership and players, as off-putting as it was, I think at least rarely that's been shoved to the side. We've taken a dive into the weeds of, you know, the labor negotiations and what may lie ahead for baseball, some of the larger issues that hover over this game. I think your nuts and bolts fan, though, simply cares about whether or not their team has a chance. And, you know, I think this is being framed a little bit differently here. If it's, you know, God, 2015, 2016, basically pick any one of the last 5 or 6 years in which going in the Reds weren't going to be very good. I think most people viewed it selfishly to a degree from the standpoint of, okay, the Reds have finally done something. They finally put themselves in a position to contend. Oh, and now we're not going to have a season. So I think the fact that this team will actually have a chance to, you know, do something on the field, I believe that supersedes, for most people, I believe that supersedes any angst or, you know, exasperation with the process that, you know, has ultimately gotten us here.
I wanted to ask you, because being the rabid fan base for baseball that it is, obviously making news nationally as the University of Cincinnati has announced they're going to remove Marge Schott's name from their stadium. Look, as somebody who grew up there, and I understand that I had a really good relationship with Marge. You ever meet Marge? Did you get a chance to work with Marge at all?
I met Marge at the Finley Market opening day parade in 1999 when my job was to give her a cell phone to go on the air with a host by the name of Mike McConnell.
Oh, I remember Mike extremely well working at LW. Yeah. So I had a good relationship with Marge. She actually did some things for my son through Make-A-Wish, and I got to know her really well, and then obviously cover when I was working at a couple of different sports stations there in town. But she made national headlines with some of her comments, calling Eric Davis her million-dollar N-word, talked about, you know, earrings in the ears and fruits and queers. And look, I get all of that. She did a lot of good. She did a lot of harm with some of her old-school thinking. So give me your thoughts or what the feeling is there as they remove her name from that stadium at the University of Cincinnati.
Well, I think one thing that people have to realize is her name, the ballpark was built in 2004. Her name went on the ballpark in 2006. It wasn't that they didn't name the stadium after Marge Schott because they intended to honor her or celebrate all of her good deeds or, you know, memorialize her time owning the Reds. They put her name on the stadium because after Marge, her foundation gave $2 million. And it was $2 million at a time when they were trying to raise about $90 million to build, which is the complex that houses, you know, basically all the sports teams, all the workout facilities, all of that. So at a very crucial time in the school's fundraising, the Schott Foundation, again, Marge had passed 2 years prior, the Schott Foundation hands over a check for $2 million. It's also worth pointing out that naming the stadium after Marge was not a condition of the donation. I've confirmed that with multiple parties. The school on its own decided, as is often the case when somebody, you know, donates a lot of money, we're going to put her name on something. And it's a major landmark. The baseball stadium at UC is right in the front doorstep. You cannot go in 2006. So this isn't like a lot of these cases where a statue was built or something was named after somebody because they were being honored. And now, with the benefit of hindsight, a little bit more enlightened age, we're revisiting whether or not we should have that statue. This was purely a financial transaction. The Schott Foundation hands over a check. The school decides in return, we're going to put her name on the ballpark. I would say this, to me, follow the lead of the Cincinnati Reds. Marge Schott is not in the Reds Hall of Fame. Now think about that. She owned the last time they won the World Series. She is probably the most famous person to ever own a sports franchise. And there's no Marge Schott memorial. There's no Marge Schott plaque. There's nothing. The Reds have tried to distance themselves from her. So I would kind of take the lead there. If the Reds, the franchise that she owned, have decided they want nothing to do with her legacy, then I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense for the University of Cincinnati, a school in which she attended, but it wasn't like she was an active participant in UC athletics during her adult life. She wasn't a big booster of the school. She wasn't somebody that you saw at, you know, basketball games or football games. She wasn't intimately involved with decision making. If the Cincinnati Reds have no room for Marge Schott, then I think if you're the University of Cincinnati, you have to understand, aside from wanting to complete a financial transaction, does it make any sense for us to want to have anything to do with Marge Schott? And once current and former players, most notably, you know, Kevin Youkilis, who went to UC, started speaking up, we knew how this was going to end, and ultimately it ended with Marge's name being removed from the ballpark.
Yeah, it's amazing because for everything she did for the Cincinnati Zoo, she did for kids, she did for the Finley Market Parade, all the visibility, obviously, you know, owning those car dealerships and such, did a lot for the Humane Society through the work with Shotzi and Shotzi O2 and all that kind of stuff. It took a couple of interviews and to just destroy all of that down there. And like you said, for a franchise that she owned and loved to completely distance itself from her and not to really want to even recognize her is just astounding.
And I think it's worth pointing out, it's not like Marge said these things. If you remember in the mid-90s, she was, you know, essentially suspended for a year. She had to relinquish day-to-day control of the team. She came back. And, you know, if you go back to the mid-90s, that's really when Marge became not only a national punchline, but a little bit of a civic embarrassment. She had her team, for lack of a better way of putting it, taken away in 1999. And in her final years, whenever she was asked to do an interview, inevitably she was asked, you know, do you regret some of the things you've said? And the answer was always a version of no. So it's not like we're dealing with somebody who said and did some awful things, and then after suffering the repercussions, apologized, expressed a willingness to learn from her way. She was stubborn until the very, very end. The last on the record interview she gave was to the Cincinnati Inquirer, maybe 2 years before she passed, and she basically expressed no remorse for the things she had said. So that certainly doesn't help. You know, there's a lot of cases where, and you're seeing that today, somebody will say something and it gets brought up retroactively, or they do something and it's kind of explained to them, here's why that's wrong. And they apologize. They express some degree of remorse. They try to make it better. Marge never tried to do any of that. And so, you know, to me, that's a big part of this that around here, at least, nobody is talking about. You cannot deny this was a woman who did a lot of really good things. You know, frankly, if she's not there to buy the Cincinnati Reds in the 1984, I don't know what becomes of the franchise. And the lengths to which her money went to go help people is wide and varied and cannot be ignored. But along with what she said, along with all of the, you know, various groups she went out of her way to offend, there was a startling lack of remorse, even when she was basically kicked out of the sport. So that, to me, is sort of what kicks this over the goal line as far as I'm concerned. And it's why, you know, I've been a proponent of taking her name off the ballpark, and the University of Cincinnati Board of Trustees apparently agrees.
Yeah, I told the story yesterday real quick, but I did an interview with her, and I sat in her office and listened to her talk to her secretary in some of the foulest language I had ever heard. And I was stunned. And I asked her about it, and she said, well, it's a man's world, and I have to be a man. And it kind of set the tone for the interview. And then when we got into the discussion of all of this, and then even after the fact when she had talked about Eric Davis, I had said, well, the same thing of what you're saying is, don't you regret it, or would you have done it differently? And she said, well, this is – she almost acted like now like it wasn't her fault. It was just that's the way she was brought up, so that's what she is, rather than having the ability to advance or change or consider new ideas. It was kind of like, well, this is what I am. And it didn't make it right. It just, and I understood what she was saying, but it's like, well, but don't you understand that times have changed? And you're right. She just, like, this is who I am. I have to be this hard ass person in this man's world and the good old boy club. And I walked away knowing what Marge was, and was a little bit better that day. Even though she had done some wonderful things for my family and my son, I walked away shaking my head. And then I still, to this day, I'll tell the story of, you know, behind closed doors of some of the things that she had said to her secretary, and her secretary said back to her. And I had to say, as a guy listening to two women argue, I was stunned. I was like, oh, my God. So anyway, Mo, great stuff as always. I appreciate it. In times like this, it's certainly interesting to see what's going on. And obviously, we got baseball back, so we're going to talk again down the road. But thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Looking forward to it, Bill. Thanks, man.
Talk to you later. There you go. Mo Egger, he is from ESPN down there in Cincinnati from 1530, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.